is episode 484 of This Is Whole Life. Thought Ken was going to join me and sing the second verse of that song, but I don't know if I know it.
I was just trying to figure out your new intro.
It is the laughter next door, because before we started actually recording and before everybody showed up, Anderlene and I were here, who is our special guest today. She's not a rookie. She's a veteran of the podcast many, many times. And we are talking about Connected this week, and Connected here at Whole Life Church in Orlando, where every week here on the podcast, we go a little bit deeper into the message. We had kind of a short message, but it was based around Connected. And so today, what we really want you to know, and maybe really want you to consider, is how are you connecting to your community? And what does that look like? And if you don't have something that maybe you have specifically in your usual order of business, I think we might have something for you. Because Anderlene, who is our Justice Ministries pastor, welcome, Anderlene.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell me again, how many partners that we work with every day of the year? It's not just a one-time thing.
Okay. So in our history, we have about 106 partners. And in fact, I've discovered five more. So really it's 111 partners.
Ooh.
Did
you say that's over the last 5 or 6 years?
In the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And in the recent years of working actively differently through collaboration, through shared resources, we have actively 20 partners that we work every single year with.
Shared resources.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a collaboration. It sounds like a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
How do we share resources with partners? How does that work?
Oh, great question. The way that it works is that we find nonprofits that we know are doing amazing work in our community. We visit them. We talk to them. We look at what they're doing well, what they're not doing well. And then as our Justice Ministries team and board, we think about whether or not this is a passion or a space that we can step into. And based on, you know, knowing what our church is all about, what our culture is all about, what our values are all about, we will then choose partners that come alongside who we are as a church, but also what the community needs.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionality.
And then in that way, what we do is if there's anybody in the community that needs assistance, they will either refer them to us to see if we can help, or we refer back to them to see if they can help. And that way, no one is missed in the gap of services.
Would it be fair to say something like wraparound services? Is that a good word for
that?
That's
a good word for it. Wraparound services is the best way to call it.
So How many people would you say that we have reach out to the church for assistance in one form or another on a maybe monthly basis?
Well, I can tell you this year alone, we've reached
out. In the first nine months of this calendar year.
Mm-hmm, okay. We've reached 55 families. And we would, out of that 55, we've served 50, and 4 were referred back to our community partners.
So we provide assistance to 50 families, and there are another 4 that we said, okay, our partners are in a better position to actually provide services. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that these people just had nothing happen for them. It was that we referred them to somebody else. And I know you said that those are families that we've helped, right?
Those are the ones we've actually helped.
And we have, I think you said Saturday night, we have another 12.
Another 12 remaining
at
that
least
still needs our assistance.
So far this year, we've had about 65-ish families.
Correct.
That have kind of reached out to us looking for assistance.
Correct.
Can you kind of put a dollars and cents figure on what that looks like for Whole Life when it comes to providing assistance?
In terms of total amount we've spent?
Sure.
Oh, man. The last figure that I counted without the 12 that are remaining for assistance is about $65,000 of assistance going out to our community.
And that doesn't include what our partners do to assist them as well?
That does not include what our partners does to assist them.
Wow. When you say assistance, what can that all entail? Because sometimes I feel like when someone's like, I love this organization because they, you know, when I needed assistance, they stepped in and then they move on to the next piece. And I'm like, well, what are the needs that we're finding that families need from us?
Well, we serve a population that's called the working poor, or in common non-layman's term is the ALICE population. You're looking at families that essentially they're going through some type of crisis that's keeping them fiscally just like unable to move on. So sometimes it's, I can't pay my rent because I got medically sick. Other times it's like, I'm about to be homeless because I went through a divorce. We've had those who are looking to transition back into housing. They've done all that they can. They have a job, but they need assistance in terms of putting down a down payment. Mm. So it's a full gamut. Sometimes it's, you know, my child has just experienced a huge surgery and I can't afford, you know, food for this year. Like they're working, but they're just essentially one crisis away from losing it all.
And interestingly, for a lot of them, it's actually, I would say, one of the biggest crises that can hit a family that's just right on the border is their vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what may seem for some to be a very easy fix, like a tire that in Orlando, right? I mean, we all know our tires wind up somehow with things in them, right? Mm-hmm. But a tire going out can be literally the straw that breaks the camel's back, because mm-hmm. you have to pay to get that tire fixed. You're away from work for a morning or whatever to get that taken care of. Your boss, you're not going to get paid for that time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have enough money to have the tire replaced? And if you don't, you don't have transportation. Now you can't get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the people we partner with, another Adventist church here, Markham Woods, that has a wonderful program for families that are having transportation issues. And again, that's kind of one of the things I actually want to make sure that people understand. When people approach the church,
mm-hmm.
Anderling, do we just write a check? No. I mean, you just call up and say, my car's not working. And we say, how much is it going to cost? And they say, oh, it's going to cost $3,000. We're like, sure, let's write a check for that. Mm-hmm. How does it work when somebody is needing assistance?
Yeah. So they go through an application process. And in the application process, we ask about 15 questions. And the reason we have that level of extensive questioning is because we want to make sure that we're the right fit for them. Like, if I give you one-time assistance, but then you have three other needs, it doesn't make sense for us to be the person that you go to. We often try to refer people out to find resources that are going to actually meet the needs that they have. And so once they complete an application, we go through an interview process. And then from there, we make a determination as a board and as a team whether or not this is something that would be beneficial to the family. We don't want to create a way of saying, be a dependency on us. We want them to be self-sufficient and be able to, with this assistance, really fully step into what their next step of stability will be.
So this is really, when we provide assistance, and Annalyn, you and I have talked about this a mm-hmm. lot, and this has been a big deal for your Justice Ministries board, for myself. I want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help people. But a lot of times that looks like a Band-Aid on a gaping wound, and you're not really solving the issue.
Correct.
You're slightly making it better for a moment,
mm-hmm.
Rather than really getting to the bottom underlying issue.
Issues. Yeah.
And so one of the things that we've really tried to do, and Anderlein, you just do such a fantastic job of this, is come alongside that person and say, okay, if we're going to pay your rent this month, does that mean you're going to be able to pay your rent next month? Mm-hmm. Or does that mean you're going to need to come back to us or to another organization? And mm-hmm. sometimes the answer is, yeah, I'm going to have to come to another organization. Life is really that rough right now. And
right.
so our goal at that point is to say, okay, we can do the 1 month, but we're going to have to get you working with one of our partners that helps you with a more long-term plan of this.
Correct.
And so our goal is not to just say, well, here's my for this month's rent, and you yeah, you have another place to stay for another month, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But what happens at the end of that month? Our goal is to say, hey, let's get you so you don't have to be terrified every month when that rent comes due. And, you know, for anybody who's been in that position where you're, where you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. And I think a lot of people have been in that position. Yeah. A lot of people have been there where you're just like, I don't know how I am going to do this next thing.
Right.
A lot of times you really are looking for somebody who can help you figure out, because it's kind of this fog of war. You're just trying to survive. You're just like, I just need to get to work. I need to figure out how to pay this bill. And you're not, mm-hmm. you're just so overwhelmed that you can't think three or four steps ahead, mm-hmm. which is what you've got to do to get yourself out of that position. So what happens, and what I'm very proud of Anderlene and our Justice Ministries team for, is that's where they come in. They're like, of course you can't. I mean, mm-hmm. you're just trying to survive. Of course you're having a hard time. Let us come alongside you. Let us help you think two or three steps ahead. Let us work with you mm-hmm. so that that can happen. And not everybody's willing to allow you to do that.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we're not able to help because somebody says, no, I don't, if you're not going to give me that money for the rent, I don't want,
yeah,
I don't want to, I don't want to do the other things. And our answer is, man, we want to help. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to also be willing to work a process that's going to ensure that you have long-term viability as opposed to a short-term fix.
Yeah. I want to give you guys a quick story that I just figured out this past week. We had a single mom who needed assistance, and she applied. She was already employed, but she was underemployed, meaning she wasn't making enough funds to meet her basic needs. And so it turns out that she saw our jobs partnership cohort that we were doing here at the church, which is one of our collaborations. So she then had the opportunity to enter into that cohort and go through the process of learning what it means to work and gain resilience and how to craft a resume, speak to mentors. And it was such a phenomenal program. And by the end of it, she graduated with a class, I think, of 300 plus students who went through all the different cohorts across Central Florida. And we reached out to her and to see how she's doing. And she's now like well employed and on her way to completing a certification and to really kind of step into the next phase of her life. And she's thinking about home ownership. When I tell you, when I tell you, like, those are the types of stories, like the wraparound, like we try to get our families into places where you're not only thinking of right now, but you're actually moving towards a huge next step of stability.
Well, I like that because you end up when it initially sounds sometimes like, well, we, like Ken said, we can't really help you if you're not willing to maybe help us take that next step. And it's like, oh man, that kind of hits in the heart, especially mm-hmm. when you're maybe standing in front of that person and you see the need, you see the just being worn down from mm-hmm. all of the things that you've been having to deal with. And like, I can't think that far ahead because I don't have the brain power. I don't have yep. the will right now to do that. But then when you put it in that context mm-hmm. where, look, we do have some really good pieces. Mm-hmm. Get yourself like really employed and get yourself ready to go. And then to be thinking about ownership, especially in this Central Florida market from being in that spot, that's pretty wild.
And I totally connected her with a home ownership program that we actually ran one cohort before that will allow her to go towards that step with the Habitat for Humanity.
So how many people, you said 300 plus graduated from around Central Florida. How many graduated from here?
Oh, from here, 300. The different cohorts met across Central Florida, but they all came to Whole Life to graduate with the Jobs Partnership
program. Ran a program out of our church. So Jaws Partnership is a wonderful mm-hmm. organization. I cannot say enough good stuff about them. If you haven't, you can go Google them. They are phenomenal. And so they have a lot of different places to give people a lot of different options on where they could meet be a part of it. And Whole Life is, we are one of those places, mm-hmm. but we also hosted their graduation for all the different sites. Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty cool program.
It
was an amazing program.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about Family Promise for a minute too, mm-hmm. because that's really been Whole Life's focus, is keeping people from becoming unsheltered, mm-hmm. losing their home. That's been a big focus for us. And Anderlene, you said that these 50 families that probably most of them, without the assistance and the wraparound that Whole Life was able to help provide, mm-hmm. potentially could have found themselves without a home. But we also have some partners that we work with as well that are working with people who are unsheltered or yep. need a place. And Family Promise yep. is one of those. And for me, this is one of the just, again, just another really cool partner mm-hmm. Because they really do a fantastic job of taking people who have had some really unfortunate things happen in their lives and have found themselves unsheltered, but they're willing. They want to do their yeah. part. They want to make yep. it happen. And so they help them be able to save up to get into a rental and the ways they do that is that there are a number of different churches and maybe some other organizations that are willing to allow 3 to 4 families generally mm-hmm. stay in their church for a week. Yeah. And so I think about 3 or 4 times a year here at Whole Life, we yeah. have 3 to 4 families that are working towards getting themselves into a home. Mm-hmm. They stay with us for a week. We provide a place for them. And we've just got some of the coolest feedback from some of those people. Yeah. And you want to talk about that? Because we have the best volunteers here at Whole Life.
I mean, the 2 stories that we recently heard was of the 2, the husband and the child. They just lost a mom and the wife. And he was so sad to be back in this position. And he sent us such a beautiful letter saying thank you. Without Whole Life, he didn't know if he was going to make it through the first week of being part of this sheltering program again. And he was, you know, the director of the sheltering program said to us, you know, he's such a quiet person. We didn't know if we were going to get through to him. But to know that now he's voicing his opinion so clearly and loudly, she's like, we don't know what Whole Life does, but thank you so much for that. We're finally getting down to the core of what's going on with him. And they're able to even support him more even now. Like another one was a young girl. She's like, they were so kind and helpful to me. And she's like, when do I go back to Hotel Whole Life?
Hotel Whole Life.
Hotel Whole Life.
I love it.
She loved the space. The kids come here. They love the space.
And we have the best volunteers, right?
And we do. Oh, man, our volunteers spend so much time. We offer an after-school program to sit down and help the families with schooling and homeworks and crafting while the parents get to sit down and have adult conversation. And so this is kind of like the most holistic and wraparound program that they get to be a part of here that they don't see in other places.
Shout out to Sheila,
who's Sheila Spragan, the best.
Sheila coordinates all of it. And mm-hmm. so that's why I want to shout out to her. And amazing. It's a big deal because to make it happen, I think you have to have, how many volunteers would you say that we have to for a week? It's over 20, I would say.
No, you're looking at least 50 to 60 volunteers. There's those who do the shopping, then you have the cleanup, and then you have the
making meals, laundry.
Yeah. It takes a lot more.
So Sheila, shout out to you. Thank you for that beautiful ministry that she's mm-hmm. really been engaged with so much in the time that I've been here. I don't know how much further back it goes, but
I think we have 25 years with them.
That's
actually
awesome.
Yeah.
And you think about how many families that means that we were a small part of helping them mm-hmm. Be restored to wholeness, really, and having that sense. If you've ever been in a position where you don't have a home, mm-hmm. Our family went through it in a way that deserves absolutely no pity. But we had sold a home and had to wait for about a month to move into a new home. So not a big deal, right? I mean, as far as like we had a place we knew we were going to be headed, but we had to live with friends for a month. And, you know, thanks to those friends, they're amazing friends, but it felt so like I knew I had a place to be going. So that's not the sense of what's going to happen. How am I going to find a place? I knew where I was headed and I still felt so disoriented and like I felt bad for imposing on our friends. And I felt like, and I also felt like, where do I go at the end of the day. Yeah. What, you know, I'm going back to this place with my friends and that's nice, but it's not really my home. Mm-hmm. And so I can't imagine what it feels like for people who are really experiencing this, you know, being unsheltered, not knowing there is not a place in the foreseeable future that they're going to be, and they're trying to figure that out. So I'm really glad that we are, involved, even though our primary focus is helping people not mm-hmm. find themselves in that place.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're still involved with those who are. And Annalyn, you told me a statistic, and I don't know if you can pull it up off the top of your head, but mm-hmm. to get somebody moved out of being unsheltered into an apartment, mm-hmm. it costs a certain amount of money, but to keep somebody from becoming unsheltered costs a different. Do you remember that?
Sure. Yeah.
Stat?
Honestly, and this is as of 2022, a health assessment. So I'm pretty sure the facts and figures have changed since. But in 2022, the results were over $33,000 to get someone back into housing versus the $1,500 to keep them in housing.
That's wild.
So mm-hmm. so that's one of the reasons why Whole Life has shifted its attention to working with the ALICE population, which is an acronym, which I can never remember.
I always think ALICE in Wonderland, but I know that's not right.
Annalyn always says, don't call it the working poor, but since I heard her do it a little earlier, but it is, our focus has changed to people who are just, you know, a gentle nudge away from becoming unsheltered. And mm-hmm. because think about it, if we can invest $1,500 in that, think about how much that saves society. I think $30,000 is a small, I think it's an underestimate of what it actually costs mm-hmm. in the society as a whole when we have these things happen. So if you can, I mean, you don't have to be a big math major to figure out that's a small investment. So I love that about where we're at, what we're focusing on as a church. And we had a lot, this was just such a fun Sabbath mm-hmm. For doing good and just seeing and celebrating all the good things that we are doing. You know, those 20 partners, they're just, we just partner with the coolest people. They're just the most amazing people out there. And mm-hmm. World Vision was another fun one. I got to be a part of their fun run. And I think we had 50 to 60 people that did that. Mm-hmm. And I think it was hard to not feel a little bit like just, what's the right word that I'm looking for? Just a little bit in awe as you think, okay, for every person that I see coming across this fun run finish line, that is a person that because of that sponsorship, because that person did that fun one 6K walk or close to 6K, we'll say, they did that 6K walk. There's another person in the world who will never have to have a long walk to get water. In other words, mm-hmm. for every person that did this walk, there's one person in the world who will have clean water for the rest of their life, mm-hmm. Yeah. clean and close. And that's a big deal.
That's
so
a huge deal.
Thanks to everybody who did that mm-hmm. fun walk or wog or run or whatever it was.
Stroll.
Yeah, stroll.
Well, you know, and the cool part about that was we got there, well, I don't know, I think we got there just after 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I met three run clubs in the parking lot. And they're like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you setting up? And it's like, well, we're setting up this, you know, 6K. Really, what for? So I started to tell them. And they're like, oh man, I wish we had known our club is coming, but they want to run, you know, before it gets
too hot.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, but you know, if only we had known, you know, and they're like, that is the coolest thing ever. I'm like, mm-hmm. well, you don't have to actually walk it. You could just go register. And I'm like, and that would still do the same thing.
And your
thing.
Run counts.
That's right.
And maybe next time we need to take one of our little tap buttons with us. And yeah.
Well, and I was thinking like, you know, if we do that next year, mm-hmm. Maybe we can put some stuff out at Jason Dwelly the race was, because I think there were people that they're just like, I've never, like, they run all the time. They mm-hmm. run races and it's for this association, that association. And sometimes it's for a good cause, but mostly it's just like, hey, it's a group of runners getting together. They know there's pizza and, you know, whatever at the end, and hey, we're going to get our medal and our t-shirt. So, hey, we're going to go run.
That's right.
But when they were like, what do you mean people get clean water? And so we kind of went through it. And so they were really impressed. Like they were like, I would love to be a part of this. And one lady started texting her group and they were like, nah, we're going to run. She's like, I guess we're going to run early. And I'm like, well, it's okay. Maybe next time.
Absolutely. I love the fact that, another thing that came out of this story time is that we had Cards for Warriors happening this
Explain what that is really quick.
Oh, sure. So Cards for Warrior is you're writing encouragement cards to people who are experiencing chronic illness. And so they've requested to receive these words of encouragement from anyone who would like to send it to them. So it's either for the person experiencing the chronic illness themselves, the caregiver, and even some siblings, as well. So it goes to the whole entire wraparound again, family. And so we got to design and write some words of encouragement based on whatever their likes are. For example, I'm going to shout out Desta. She wrote some puns and jokes, which I think Albert would have been a good one to do that for us. But because the person said they like puns and jokes on the side. And so she really spent a lot of time to curate something. And we were all laughing, looking up puns and jokes for the person. So it was just such a great time to connect on something as severe as, an illness that they know they may never recover from. But we can bring some joy, some positivity, some love, the whole life way to them. And so we have 500 cards that we've spent time designing and putting together for these families. And so Riza from Rise Against Hunger, she's like, hey. I'm like, hey. She's like, I have a Bible study group tonight. Can I take some cards to design for this for families? And I was like, absolutely. Yeah. So she ended up taking about 50 cards to design for us and bring back. And it's the synergy of, for example, Rise Against Hunger rap and us doing Cards for Warriors. She's like, I've never heard of this. And those type of God moments where people are coming together to do something so impactful. To me, that was such a cool moment. And so I love that so much.
And something you wouldn't expect necessarily.
You wouldn't expect it. Yeah.
I'm gonna say that this was probably the chillest vibe we've had for Connected, where, we know it's a big event and we know there's a ton of planning that goes in from your part, your team, putting everything together, trying to organize where's everybody going to be, how they going to get there, what time should they be there, make sure that they've got the supplies and the cards and the packing supplies for Rise Against Hunger. We've got, things for the race that we have set up and all these different events. But there was literally something for everyone. And my girls went out with Nathaniel's Hope and went and made the day of, I don't know what it was. Was it five different families or 10?
Actually, 10 different families.
So they made it to, I think there was two groups and they made it to a couple. And, one of our members here that with Down syndrome went and got his yellow belt in karate, or I think it was karate. And it was like, they met him at the door and the look on his face and my girls were just like totally tearing up. And when Emily heard that they were going to go see special needs people, my daughter has Down syndrome, and she was just like, well, that's what I'm doing. And Heather's like, well, don't you think the rest of us have to come along? She's like, that's okay. I'll go by myself. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to go by yourself. But literally people, like, there was a service opportunity for everyone to use their skills, use their God-given talents to be a part of it. And I didn't see anyone frowning.
Not at all.
Like the whole day, even at the some people that were crossing the line at the 6K, a little wetter than when they had left at the start. Because, son, there was a little breeze, but, and it just, everyone throughout the day had a smile. And then I really thought the people that, gave a little testimony on Saturday night for worship was great. So it was a long day. It started super early for most of us and ended late for most of us. But at the same time, it really had a really, really nice, just like family together, we're doing things. What do we take away from this, though, that we don't let it become just, Connected happens before barn party? you know? And so, well, we're good till next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's changing now. Well, so.
Andaline has the deets. Come on.
You heard it here first.
That's right. Spill the tea.
Okay. For those who actually listen to the podcast, you're going to hear it first. Our next Connected will happen in the spring of next year, March 7th. 2025. So you hear it first. Save it on your calendar. March 7th, 2025. You got the scoop. Let somebody else know.
Next year's 2026.
Oh, 2026. Wow. Yes. Thank you for that correction. March 7th, 2026.
Did I mention it was a really long day for most of us? And maybe that's, you know, moved over a little bit here until in Tuesday afternoon. But so March, it's going to be hopefully good weather, right?
Good weather.
A little cooler out.
I don't have to worry about storms.
Are we going
to
dig some ditches? And what are we going to do so we can really go out there and sweat it up?
Well, it remains to be seen. We have some cool partners already reaching out, so stay tuned.
Partners already reaching out.
Correct. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to join this time around, but they're willing to do it next time around. And so they're already telling us, hey, we have 200 volunteer slots. So if you have a group of 200, we got you.
Any sneak peeks? Or do you want to, you don't want to jinx it.
Don't jinx it.
No,
don't
jinx it. Okay.
You know, but I like the format that we did this year where, there was just so much to do and so many options that I feel like, you know, maybe you find something that you take into the rest of the year. Because somebody, whether it's Justice Ministries, like, hey, we're providing this for you. But also, just like there's people every week here finding new places to go and to serve and to be involved in their community. And I'm super excited. Andrelene has been compiling this giant list of all of our partners. And I guess you can hear it here first. We're going to be launching a new website very, very soon, probably within the next 4 to 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And on the new page for Justice Ministries and service opportunities, we will have a ton of places with easy to find. Andrelene's been working on some new software that she just took care of for us to make sure that we can collaborate and know who's going where, when, and opportunities. So like every week can be connected.
Correct.
I'm kind of excited about that moving forward.
We want to offer everyone an opportunity to serve every single week. And so we'll be working on that website, quickly and get it out to you. So stay tuned.
You know, it is part of our values here at Whole Life, right? Currently, the word participation is one of our values. And with the recommended update to our values, the new word would be involved, which is similar. But being involved, that's a big deal to us here at Whole Life. We want you to find a place where you can give back, not just financially, but you can maybe invest your time into something. And it can look like a lot of different things for a lot of different people.
Yeah.
We all have areas of strength for us, areas that we enjoy, things we don't enjoy. And so we want to help you find the place where you're going to be able to volunteer and just enjoy it, enjoy what you're doing. And there's so many benefits. I talked briefly about that in my short message Saturday night, but there's just so many health benefits to volunteering. And one study showed that people's blood pressure went down who volunteer a significant amount. And so anyway, there's some really cool things that come along with it. Even if you're just thinking about what's in it for me, but if you're thinking about how can I be a blessing in the community, there's a lot of great reasons to do that.
Absolutely.
You know, that brings me back to a message that Ken preached about loneliness.
Ooh.
Remember that message?
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I feel like every month we get an opportunity to break that cycle of every week, actually, we get to break that cycle of loneliness. But if you're looking to form small groups and small ways of breaking that cycle with a friend, with community members, service is such a great opportunity to be involved. Even if you're an introvert and you don't want to be around too many people, there are opportunities for each person to truly break that cycle. And I don't think we talk enough about how service is a way of breaking that cycle of loneliness.
Even if you find somebody to do that activity with, and then those that you are going to be impacting, sometimes it's, you don't always see the end result necessarily, but yeah, it still feels good to be involved and to be a part of the solution.
And trust me, our partners, if you say, hey, we're Worth Whole Life, we're, they know you. They'll make sure you get connected with a group that's going to help you learn how to volunteer and engage. And so it's an easy way to make friends, I think.
And most of the people that you're going to volunteer with that are partners with us do have a process that you're going to need to go through to mm-hmm. volunteer with them. And mm-hmm. you might think, well, why can't I just walk in and do it? Well, because a lot of these different places, there's safety issues you need to mm-hmm. be aware of. There's things that you need to know to wear, not to wear, things. So there's usually a little bit of a process that you'll have to go through, but it's really worth the time. And, you know, Annalene, you've been arranging every month for the staff to go to one of our partners and yeah. volunteer for a couple hours. And we have to fill out those forms and go through some of the volunteer trainings as well for that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I've actually started looking forward to it because usually during that training, you find out more about the organization. You're Correct. Like, I had no idea you did all of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what the Mustard Seed did here in town before we went and volunteered for them. They're a fabulous organization that that helps families whose homes have burned down be able to put furniture into their new home because they've lost mm-hmm. their old furniture. And I think they help even people who just need, who are in need of furniture. I think it doesn't have to just be a house fire,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then the other cool thing that I didn't know about them is that if you have a mattress, they will... that you're trying, you know, you've had that mattress for a while and you want to get rid of it, they'll take it. Mm-hmm. And they, I can't remember how many.
Oh, it's a lot of pounds
of waste they keep out of the landfill because mm-hmm. they recycle the mattresses. Mm-hmm. We had the opportunity to tear apart a bunch of mattresses. I did not realize how sturdy some mattresses are and how not sturdy other ones are.
What is it? But, well, unless they're paid partners, we won't name them.
We won't name names, but. But it was actually
we will name you.
It was somewhat cathartic to be tearing apart those mattresses. So it was really cool. It all gets recycled and they keep a lot of that out of the landfill, which is mm-hmm. a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even something like the Humane Society of
Seminole Animal Services.
Services, yeah. When we visited there, you think about that, someone's got to feed the dog, someone... got to clean the pens. They got to do this, but it's like, you know, someone's got to wash the doggy bowl. Someone's got to sweep up and keep the place looking, you know, good so that, you know, people can actually do their jobs. There's laundry to do mm-hmm. at, you know.
And my favorite was shredding papers.
Because
right. apparently all these, these forms have to be shredded after a certain number of years. So I enjoy that.
That's the thing.
I like shredding papers.
Don't assume that you know, to Ken's point, everything that they do, one, because mm-hmm. there might be an opportunity, like if the place is closed, you're like, yeah, but what do I don't even like animals. Yeah. But you don't have to work with the animals there. You can go and help them. There's a ton of stuff you can do. So any of the opportunities, just look a little bit deeper because it might be something that you can actually do that would be super meaningful for them.
When we helped out Habitat for Humanity, I always pictured that you had to go kind of pound nails and do something like that. We actually did the priming for these playhouses mm-hmm. that they were going to install. I don't know where they were going to put them in, but it was really...
I always see Jimmy Carter when he missed the nail and smashed his thumb and they had to wrap his thumb up. And like, here's this poor man. He's 90 some odd years old and missed. And, you know, he's got this bloody thumb. And I'm like, that's what I think of with Habitat for Humanity. But all we had to do is a little painting.
Giving of themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. So guys, there is something for everyone. So, and if it's like, you're not really sure what to do, come see Annalene on Saturday.
Or send me an email. Yeah, for sure. I can always help you find something cool to do.
She will find something cool for you and your family and whoever mm-hmm. or your group.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about the 20 to 20 plus partners that we're working with currently. But like Annalene said, over the last 5 or 6 years, we've worked mm-hmm. with over 106 different partners. And beyond that, Annalene, I'm sure, is aware of probably about another 100 different nonprofits.
There's a lot in Central Florida.
that, you know, if none of the 106 appeal to you or 111, you can...
I will find you some more.
She'll keep looking for you.
We will dig. Well, the other day, something that really stuck with me was I was at Costco mm-hmm. and it was after we were at the Seminole County Animal Shelter. Mm-hmm. Smelled terrible. I was sweaty and I had we always wear our Whole Life t-shirts because, you know, that's what you do when you go and serve. And It had the black, my, I love my church, and it had the logo in the back. And someone came up and tapped me on the shoulder in the parking lot. I've got my couple of items that I stopped for. And the guy's like, "You go to Whole Life Church?" And I'm like, "I do." And he's like, "You go to Whole Life Church?" I'm like, "Yes." And he kind of looked at me and I'm like,
I am Randy McGray.
Right. I'm kind
of important around there.
You haven't heard of the podcast? Is that what you're telling me? No. And he said, "I have heard so much good about Whole Life Church. And we go to what's just down on Clay, Calvary.
Calvary.
They go to Calvary." And he's like, "We need to go out and like get breakfast or have some coffee sometime." Mm-hmm. So we exchanged numbers. We haven't actually had a chance to connect yet.
Good thing they said the magic word.
Right. I know. Well, you got me at breakfast. And then if you have coffee, well, I guess
you didn't know there's super magic word podcast.
and that's how I'm going to get, that's how someone's going to kidnap me eventually. But
hey, Randy, got a podcast in this van.
And there's coffee. Right? And so, but when you think about it, people, you know, when you are, that's your part of your values and part of who the DNA of who you are, people start to hear about it. And yeah. I just feel like that was a totally non, it's like the easiest intro you could ever have to meet somebody. And he's like, "I just think, you know, Christians, we should be together more. We should do more things, even though we don't, you know, go to the same denomination. We don't go to the same church." Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool that, you know, like you said, your partners will know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot when you think about, where do I want to go to church? Who do I want to, would I invite someone to come to my church, be a part of my church? And there's these opportunities that makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, I'm so grateful for the partners that we have. They're of all different denominations and backgrounds, but their value is very similar to ours. We love the world.
And just, you know, I know we've talked about it, but just the fact that, you know, they have their process, we have our process. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that it's, you know, that we're sending, you know, people that come to church here that we're when we recommend that they go to a partner, we know it's going to be a good environment. It's going to be safe. It's going to be, you know, something that's meaningful. And so that also makes a difference where it's not just, you know, put your finger on the page and go, "Yeah, let's go serve over there today."
That's right.
I like that.
You know what? Before we sign off, I want to make sure that we also give you an opportunity to give in a financial way. Mm-hmm. Because as Anderlee mentioned, we've distributed about $65,000 of funding in the last 9 months. Mm-hmm. Am I getting that correct?
That's
not
correct.
Making things up? Okay. Yeah. And to about 50 different families that have benefited from that. And as Anderlee said a little bit earlier, we have another 10 to 12, mm-hmm. maybe even a couple more than that, that are waiting on funding. And our you can imagine if you give out $65,000 of funds, that means that sometimes the funds can start running a little bit low. Mm-hmm. And right now we are at a place where we're having to slow down on the help that we're giving because we're kind of running low on funds. We're not all the way out, but we're having to really be strategic in how we're thinking about it. And so if you'd like to help replenish those funds, I just want to let you know that Randy's going to drop a link into the show notes for you to go to our community assistance fund. Mm-hmm. And just so that you're fully aware that money goes to assist anybody in our community, including our own church members, but anybody in our community who's needing help and assistance. It's the process that we talked about earlier. Anderlee vets them, make sure that this is something that's going to be a long-term help. Mm-hmm. But if you could contribute to that, you will be making a big difference in people's lives. Of course, your donation's tax deductible. Talk to your accountant more about that, but we'll send you a nice thank you letter for that, mm-hmm. along with just saying that we received that. And we just want you to know that there's that opportunity if you're able to, and we'd appreciate that because we'd really like to help these, not just because it's not going to be 12. If you can think about it, if we're, there's going to be another, I guess there'll probably be at least another 20 before the year is over that could use assistance. And we'd love to be able to do that, but it's only possible when you and I partner together to make that difference in the world. So if you can do that, if that's a place that you're able to help, then encourage you to think about it. And again, if you're not able to get into the show notes, it's not a hard thing to do. Just go to Whole Life's website, go to our give button on there, and then you'll look there. You'll find the community assistance fund there that you can donate to directly. And all the money that goes there goes specifically for what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So also on the front page, really quick, wholelife.church, you will find a feedback form for Connected that Andrelene and team would love to hear. Everything you loved, if there was things you think could be improved or things you could think of for next year that we haven't thought about yet, whatever it is, please give us your feedback and also how you heard about Connected. So, and also on the front page, you'll find for Amplify 2036 that we had our town hall a couple of weeks ago, and there's also a feedback form there. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, the video is there. You can watch the whole town hall. The link you'll find on the front page and the link for feedback. So if you would take a few moments, we'd really appreciate your feedback in both of those. And this upcoming week, tell me, Scooby-Doo, what are we talking about this week in the great question? This is number 2 of 3, correct?
So the question, unless Melanie, you remember it, because I remember what it is, but
go for it, Ken.
But you've been so quiet during this. I want people to know you're here.
Enjoying being in the presence of all this greatness. So, no, go for it.
We're so happy to have you
here.
And
that's why we love Melanie right there. That's really why.
So the question was based off of Romans 13, where it says that we're to submit to authorities, that all authority here on earth has been set up by God. And Paul is speaking there. And so the person said, so what happens when the authority is not worth following, or when they are in a asking us to do things we shouldn't? How do we relate to that? How do we relate to that based on what Romans 13 says? So that's the gist of what, and did I get that pretty much right, Melanie?
Yep, pretty close.
Okay, because I spent most of my morning working on that, so it'd be a shame if I was headed in the wrong direction.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea. So how are you feeling? How are you feeling his chances are?
I don't know. You know, I feel like he's going to do well.
Yeah.
I've got a good feeling about this.
Melanie's my hype person. So.
That's
like, awesome. See me in the back good, with pom-poms.
If it isn't good on Friday morning, she'll make sure it turns around before I show up on Saturday.
Or we'll create a quick exit strategy for him.
If the fire alarm goes off at 12:25.
All I know is I've got this sermon, and then I think I have one more. And then great questions will be over for another year. And then we will have a youth Sabbath, and then I am super excited that Miss Dr. Melanie Bachman, PhD,
how come I didn't know that?
will be doing a, how many part series did we finally get? Did we settle on
three?
Wow.
I tried to get four, folks, and she wanted two, so we settled on three.
I was going
to
say, what's up, Doc? What are we talking about? Or no, it's right. You're not going to tell us, are you?
Well, I'll tell you what the series is about. Oh. Jesus and Justice.
Ooh.
That got it.
There's feathers. Have feathers, will ruffle.
And I expect Ken to be in the back with pom-poms. So.
Well,
I expect Ken in the back with a big giant timer.
You know it.
I know it.
Don't. The thing about Melanie is, though, the not fun part for me is she will be done right on time, because yes, she will manuscript it and be sure that she hits her marks.
Yep.
Well, I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
So what is that? So for those who are like, what does that mean? Jesus and justice. Where are you going with that?
You're gonna have to come and find out. You're gonna have to come and find out. I'm not gonna give that much away.
Which means she hasn't figured it out either yet.
Actually, I think she has. We've had a few conversations.
That's right. Andrelene got a little sneak peek. Yeah, there's something I'm working on that I'm trying to figure out. So.
And I'll have to say, it's gonna be good.
Well, of course, but it's been a while. Like you did three.
I think I preached back in February, and then the year before that, I don't think I did any. And then the year before that, I did another three-part series.
That's it. All right, guys. Have a great week, and thanks for listening.